Hi, I'm Madeline. I am 37. I'm from Chicago, and I am a founder and CEO.
Hi, I'm Alan. I'm from Tupelo, Mississippi. I am 39 years old, and I am the co-founder of Fountful.
We've got two kids, 5 and 2, boy and girl. We've been together for 10 years.
And happily married for 3 out of our 8 years.
Welcome to Our Love Story, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every week, a real couple recounts how they met, how they fell in love, and the biggest moments of their relationship. Now, let's hear their love story.
Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new favorites by previewing short audio clips before committing to a full listen. You can even watch some podcasts with video or just keep playing audio in the background. It's everything you want in one app. Music, podcasts, and audiobooks across any device. Play anytime, anywhere, any way you'd like with Spotify. Try today.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
When we first got together, I had been in Chicago for about 1 year and was basically a wild man running the streets and not thinking at all about relationships or marriage or any of the subsequent things that happened upon meeting Madeline.
I'd been in an uneventful 4-year relationship, which caused me to come back to Chicago. It wasn't a cause, but significant motivator, right? To come back to Chicago. Yeah. So what I was looking for when I found Alan or happened upon him was not Alan. I wasn't looking for anything. I was on a sex dating site. So that's what I was looking for.
Well, we met originally with me emailing through the dating site. And we ended up conversing online for probably about a month before we ever met, just because our schedules weren't aligning at all.
Yeah, he clicked on my profile. He started talking to me. He, you know, was able to speak grammatically correct, or at least, you know, that's what it appeared to be. I have no idea what kind of devices he was using behind the veil. But yeah, it was good. He was funny. He was cute, which is all that I cared about. So it was good.
Madeline's background is as a writer, so her profile was very clever. She's also, I was very attracted to her, obviously, and that was the reason for me to reach out.
Our first date was at a dive bar. Alan chose it because he is obsessed with dive bars, which is just something that's been consistent throughout the entirety of our relationship.
Yeah, so I definitely chose the bar, and it was because it was one of the nicer bars that I went to at the time on the west side of Chicago. So
that says a lot.
It was a great night. You know, the nice thing about it was is there was literally only like one other person in the entire bar, because our date was on like a Tuesday. And so no one was there. And so we felt like we had the run of the mill, you know, and just one bartender, one random Joe sitting there on a stool, and then Madeline and I shooting pool.
For 5 hours. Normally I would get a Grey Goose martini. And it was like, do you want canned beer or bottled beer? Do you think there, you know, it was one of those places where you're surprised that they have a liquor license. It reaffirmed to me that this was just a booty call, basically. You know what I mean? I was like, I would never want to be with somebody where this would be the first date.
I look at things totally different. Mm. To me, a place like that is a place where two people can sit and connect with each other without distractions. You know, I don't like it when places are too loud. I don't want to wait for anything. I'm an extremely lazy person. So this is an environment where I can thrive.
So true. I mean, my first impressions, I wasn't nervous prior to the date. I wasn't really nervous prior to any of my online dates. Getting there, I was wonderfully relieved and surprised. He was hot. He had on, you know, just clean, crisp, white button-down business shirt, really cute little face, and a great ass. I'm a huge butt person. And his pants were like just tailored perfectly snug where I'm like, okay, Memphis, okay, Memphis.
I used to wear pants that were entirely too tight.
Unnecessarily tight.
To wear. And as I've grown more mature and older, my pant choices have loosened significantly.
Mm-hmm. It was a 5-hour date, which was, that was amazing. That was a highlight. That was the most surprising thing because I'm extremely punctual and I'm very A-type. So it's like if I put in my calendar that I am going to be doing something for 2 hours, at an hour 45, I check the clock and I start to say my goodbyes, right? So I didn't look at my phone or my watch one time. We just kept talking and kept talking and kept talking. And it felt so natural. And then I remember when I got up to go to the bathroom, I checked my phone. I was like, holy shit.
I think the highlight was just the comfort. I don't remember what we talked about, you know, or anything like that. I just remember there being a tremendous amount of flirtation.
Okay, so how did the date end? We paid like the $5 for 5 hours of drinking on the west side of Chicago. Yeah, we walked outside and, you know, we just making small talk about like, hey, you know, this was fun. Let's meet up again. Yeah, of course. Had a good night. And Alan's 6'2", and I'm a glorious 5'4", and I wasn't wearing heels. So I had to give off like the body language of like, I'm going to kiss you now. And he was receptive and I kissed him and it was a good kiss. It was really sweet. When I pulled back, he was smiling and it was good. Our first I love you was in the summer in June. Which is Pride Month, right? And Chicago has one of the best prides in the country. I've been to a lot. It's amazing. And we were hungover. And Alan was like, I want you to watch The Wire. I'm like, what's The Wire? He's like, what? So he was obsessed. And he was like, we're going to watch as much as we can until we have to go out and meet our friends again. So we blew up an air mattress. We were in an air mattress in my apartment on the floor. And I don't know if it was the remnants of the night before. I don't know if it was all the love in the air. I don't know what it was, but we're watching, you know, probably a really upsetting scene of this drama. And I just rolled over to him and looked at him and said, I love you. And he rolled over and looked at me and just stared at me. And then he smiled. And then he kept watching the show. And there was this moment in my mind of like, did I not say it outside of my head? Like, I did. He just didn't say it back. Okay. So I went to a place where I feel like anybody would go when you love someone and you tell them that for the first time and they don't respond. I immediately started planning our breakup in my mind. And I was like, you know, it's perfect that it's Pride because I'll just be surrounded by slushies and hot men and not have to worry about that shit. But yeah, that was the first I love you.
I did tell her that I loved her later that day. I just needed, you know, I hesitate often and it was a moment of hesitation. I'd like to think. This is me, like my own like spin on this whole day. I'd like to think that I redeem myself in some capacity later.
He didn't.
Listen, that's, you know, opinion. But that was how it played out. When I proposed to Madeline, we had already been in Las Vegas maybe like a month prior and purchased the ring together. Okay, so we knew like, so there was some element of surprise that had already been eliminated. And so I am not one for large, grand gestures. And for whatever reason, And in hindsight, I understand that it was not the best choice. But for whatever reason, at the time, I was like, you know what? Today's the day. Woke up, got ready. It's like 5 a.m. I'm about to walk out the door. I grab the ring, wake her up, get on one knee, lay it all out there, slap the ring on her finger.
Listen to the adjectives that he's choosing to use. Almost slap it up. Like, who talks about their engagement? Like,
listen, it was romantic. It was.
My view of the proposal experience was that it was very Alan. It was very dive bar. It was very the simplest, like, what are the ingredients that I need? I'm not going to do any more. I'm not going to do any less, which is great in some arenas in life. Not so much in the proposal. Not so much when you're saying that you want to spend, you know, all of your flesh eternity with the person. That is not, it's not when you want to be a minimalist. But, you know, and he also leaves out that he was wearing a uniform when he, because he had to wear a uniform to work. So it wasn't even like he, you know, was like clean shaven and like smelled of exotic perfume and wearing like a silk shirt and like woke me up, kissing me on the forehead. He like, hey, babe, wakes me up, is wearing a uniform shirt, says he loves me, gives me the ring, and then goes to work. Like, wasn't even, let's have a cup of coffee now that we're going to start. Nothing. So, you know, I mean, it was, I mean, I'm over it. That was a long time ago, but.
You sound over it. There wasn't like negative feedback in the moment. And she was like, you know, yes, I love you. I'm excited to get married to you. However, I wish you would have, you know, I wish you would have put more thought or more, been more creative with the way that you proposed. And it's also, there's, I think at times there's a real frustration for Madeline that she does love me to the degree that she does, where she's like, why do I, like, I'm almost mad at myself for loving him so much. I don't know what that says really about me. The fact that I just said that out loud, but I think that definitely exists to some degree, like in these certain moments where, you know, that are so pivotal.
The wedding was a perfect, in my opinion, this is obviously biased, it's a perfect representation of a union of us. It was industrial, but it was an industrial art gallery. My mom was generous enough to make an insane amount of her famous barbecue sauce that I had a graphic artist do caricatures of Alan and I in French noir, because I'm a total Francophile and Haitian. And so like that was a huge component. We put these stickers in the jars, and my mom is also strangely from the same place that Alan was born, Tupelo, Mississippi. And so like having her do that and contribute that. And then we asked all of our loved ones, our immediate family, to give us pictures of their wedding day, right? And my dad passed away and he was able to be there, right? Because I used their wedding photo and he was there. And Alan's grandparents passed away during our relationship and he was able to put, and we put these photos like on the table. And it was, yeah, it was 4 days as well, because none of our friends or family lived in Chicago. Like my immediate family did, but you know, friends in New York, friends in California, friends in London, friends in Florida, friends in Texas and Mississippi, right? So, I mean, to this day, it was the only time that all of our friends and loved ones were in one place.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 10 years. It wasn't a storybook in regards to happily ever after and big poofy dresses, right? But it was a storybook in regards to a clear beginning to our stories together.
And a perfect representation of us as a couple. Every choice was made to represent the two of us. And so I think it created something that we are very proud of as a couple to look back and you know, think about.
I mean, I think probably one of the best parts I remember was like, I had an artist recreate Angelina Jolie's Oscar dress, the really controversial one with the leg slit. Yeah. So I had that recreated in ivory silk. and I used 500 Swarovski crystals because I didn't have, and I don't have still to this day, Le Bouton money, right, to get the $3,000 pair of shoes that I wanted. So I hand crystalled those shoes over 3 months prior to the wedding. And then I remember someone being like, we don't have any photos of the shoes. So I took my cigarette and a glass of whiskey and I went outside and I took this photo on the loading dock of where our wedding was.
Yeah.
And awesome. It's still today my favorite photo of myself.
So what I love about Madeline the most is, all right, so there's a few superficial things, right? Like sense of humor, absolutely adore her sense of humor. We have incredible conversations. We laugh a lot. I think she's incredibly sexy and I'm fiercely attracted to her. And then I think that there's this other component of I'm always inspired by the work that she's doing because everything she does has such an immense passion.
You know, the thing that I love the most about Alan is his ability to endure. I know and love a lot of people, and I also know and love a lot of people who are complacent to just give up. He definitely has this curiosity and this need within him to keep going.
We wanted to have children, but doctors told us that we would not be able to. And Madeline was able to get pregnant a couple times. And then subsequently, she lost both of those pregnancies.
I have endometriosis and I had 2 precancerous surgeries. So my uterus was like a battleground.
And then all of a sudden, we got pregnant. And then it just 1 month and then 2 months. And then 3 months, and then we were just like, oh shit, like we're going to do this now, you know? So it was a weird mental, I think like a mental transition for us. We were really nervous.
Yeah. But we had a perfect butterball of a baby girl. Like,
yeah. Little fat, just brown baby.
Seeing her for the first time was, it was really overwhelming. It was exciting. It was obviously a huge blessing, but being a spiritual person, right? Like when I saw her, my purpose shifted in everything.
It was amazing. It was, I can still think back to our 3 days in the hospital room in Chicago and just like being there with our daughter, you know, in that, and just not sleeping and, you know, and just, I don't know, just laying around in bliss.
And we haven't slept since.
Pretty much.
So we were fortunate enough to be able to have a second child. And then we decided to get my tubes tied because he is, aside from how he looks, right? They look like little replicas of one another, just like little caramel globes of light. But aside from that, there is a fire demon inside of him. He is, I mean, again, right? When it comes to purpose, I think that we had him for a reason because he, my scheduling and my strategy and my need for structure, doesn't exist. And then Alan's lack of patience and Alan's poor memory, better get a planner.
Both of our kids, like from a spiritual standpoint that we believe, like are here for very particular reasons, you know, whether it be, you know, the challenges of getting pregnant and maintaining a child within, you know, inside Madeline for Cosette. And then Madeline was on birth control when we got impregnant with Lazar. So like completely wasn't even in the cards. Like we weren't trying to have a baby. We were not. And then here he comes. And then now it's forcing each of us to work on all of these things within ourselves, like that we would have never worked on, quite frankly. I mean, unless we were forced to.
I'm excited the most about the power and the ability to change, right? I look at our kids, I look at my daughter, and she is so, to be 5, I know that a lot of parents think, my kid's so great. Like, look at, no, she she asks me questions that actually make me think. Like, they're not the five-year-old, I'm going to dismiss it. They're like next level. Like, what ancestor is talking to you during nap time? So what, you know, the thought of what she's going to be able to create, what she's going to be able to harness. And for Alan and I, we have been gifted with the ability to just change, right? To change what we knew as our past and to create a future that is just like, oh, wow, you went from that to that. Wow.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like Madeline and I have very different philosophies on life when it comes to this. And it's like, for me, I don't have the mental capacity to look too far in the future to think about what's going to excite me or not excite me. So what excites me right now is, you know, to know that I'm here. I'm sitting next to my wife, who I love. I have two napping kids and a dog laying beside me, and the sun is shining, you know, and it's like, and it's just like, this moment is very exciting. And if I can just stay present within the moment, that I know I can pull all of the beautiful, you know, components out of each moment. And chances are my life is going to be just fine.
Thanks for listening to Our Love Story. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and on Twitter at Parcast Network. For more episodes of Our Love Story, follow us on Spotify and check out other Parcast originals, all available on Spotify. Our Love Story is executive produced by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It's created by John Cohen. Sound design by Kristen Acevedo with associate sound design by Jamie Ryan. Our Love Story is produced by John Cohen and associate produced by Ashley Hannah.